Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com in this study in James chapter 2, verses 19 through 24, titled, The Faith of Abraham. This is Pastor Greg, and we are thankful for all of the Bible believers who join us for these studies of our authorized King James Bible. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those to our email address, bbfohio@protonmail.com, or you can send a letter along with any check or money order contributions to support our ministry at Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. You can also donate at bbfohio.com. And now we begin with a current events update and our study in James chapter 2, verses 19 through 24, titled, The Faith of Abraham. This is part one of two
of our current events update. 1, 2, 3 headline reviews in the news. I'm not trying to teach you how to count. I'm just telling you there's three headline reviews we're going to look at.
And it rhymes
in that way. It does rhyme. Sometimes I do that and I don't even know it. And I know it. And I know it.
You might need to start teaching people how to count with the kind of things that schools are putting out.
Hold that thought. Persecution of Christians in Nigeria. It's a sad story. But the last time this happened, it did have a pretty happy ending in that the kids were returned unharmed. They're after money, thankfully. They're not abusing these kids as of yet. CBN News reported that the parents of 121 kidnapped Nigerian children pray for their return. And that's, you can imagine these parents, you know, and praying and crying. The parents of 121 Nigerian students abducted by armed bandits at Bethel Baptist High School in Dimishi, Kaduna State, gathered in their school on Tuesday, waiting for news about their children. And that's the last we heard. Haven't heard anything since. Yet. But the reports were that they had heard from the captors who assured them that the kids were all safe and they just wanted their money. And it's just the further our world gets away from God, the worse it's going to get. You see this, hundreds of schools and businesses and others have had their systems now locked down with this ransomware demanding a total of about $70 million. And it's got some people, their finances, retirement and all that locked up. They can't get access to funds and all that. So if it goes on very long, it could really cause trouble. But it's just a corrupt world and society. And the godless have been triggered here in America with Hobby Lobby. They face a backlash for an ad declaring this terrible thing, one nation under God, over the 4th of July holiday. And it kind of reminds me of this in Sodom. You remember they were talking about Lot and they said, he will needs be a judge. In other words, you know, don't judge us. And he said, now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. That's what they're doing in a lot of places. They're just busting in on businesses and, you know, they don't tear down statues, all this violence going on.
And without God, democracy will not and cannot long endure. If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.
And that's the truth.
Amen.
I thought you'd like to see a real president. It's been a few months. So.
Sorry,
Psalm 9.
Which one is that exactly?
Which
is that Ronald Reagan?
Yes, Ronald Reagan.
Okay,
Got some youngsters in the room.
Wow.
Well, Nancy. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And thirdly, meanwhile, in America, the Sodomites and allies pervert our children. A couple of weeks ago, I showed the investigative journalism of Jenny Allball, and we won't repeat all that, but this was a story, again, on CBN News. The queering of kids' TV. 259 LGBTQ sodomite characters in children's animation as producers actively push their agenda. Been saying it for years, and we're now seeing it wasn't a word of prophecy from the Lord. It was just simple discernment. Preachers for years have said, you keep giving in to the sodomite agenda, it will never be enough, and they will eventually come for the children. And that's exactly what they're doing. You should find and read the full article at cbnnews.com. You'll see the whole article. Here's a list of just a few. That's an actual hat you can buy. Disney revamping kids' cartoon with gay dads and teen activists. Pixar, Nickelodeon, owned by Viacom, CBS, PBS, with Sesame Street, we showed that. They now have gay characters on Sesame Street. Marvel, etc. Now, what you're about to see is not a parody. I just want you to know that. This is a real video produced by the Gay Men's Choir in San Francisco, and it's being celebrated by gay activists all over the country. It's like their theme song now.
As we celebrate Pride and the progress we've made over these past years, there's still work to be done. So to those of you out there who are still working against equal rights, we have a message for you.
You think we're sinful? You fight against our rights. You say we all lead lives you can't respect. But you're just frightened. You think that we'll corrupt your kids if our agenda goes unchecked. Funny, just this once, you're correct. We'll convert your children. Happens bit by bit, quietly and subtly, and you will barely notice it. You can keep them from disco. Warn about San Francisco. Make him wear pleated pants, we don't care. We'll convert your children. We'll make them tolerant and fair.
At first I didn't get why you'd be so scared of us turning your children into accepting, caring people, but I see now why you'd have a problem with that.
Just like you worried, they'll change their group of friends. You won't approve of where they go at night to protest. Oh, and you'll be disgusted when they start finding things online that you kept far from their sight.
Like information.
Guess what? You'll still be alright.
We'll convert your children.
Yes, we will.
Reaching one and all.
The world's getting kinder. Gen Z's gayer than Grindr.
Learn to love, learn to vote, face your fate.
We'll convert your children. Someone's gotta teach them not to hate.
We're coming for them.
We're coming for your children.
Convert all the sisters and brothers.
Once you see the official information there, it lists all their names, all their parts. San Francisco Gay Men's Choir TV. That's for real. Just saying. That seems so unreal, but for years we've been telling everybody that this is what's coming, and it'll never be enough. The next thing is they want to legalize pedophilia.
Legalize what?
Pedophilia. They're already trying to lower the age of consent and that sort of thing. But they will never teach God not to hate. And this is where evangelicals in the last 20 or 30 years have brought this on themselves, because they chose to create a God in their image rather than simply believing the God of the Bible. And so you were never supposed to say that God hates anyone, even though God says he hates people. Psalm 5:5, the foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity.
Amen.
That is not love the sinner and hate the sin. That is, once you have rejected God, refused to repent, and choose to live in sin, you have chosen to be the enemy of God. Amen. He hates you and will kill you and cast you into a lake of fire. As long as you've got breath, we'll keep preaching and we'll keep praying for you.
Amen.
And if you ever do repent, we have open arms.
Amen.
But that's the reality that evangelicals have not been willing to preach. They want everybody to think God loves everybody no matter what. And they've been lying about God. They've been bearing false witness about God. They have failed in their job, their duty, to tell this godless world that if you reject him, you reject his gospel, then you choose to be his enemy, and he hates you, and he's going to kill you, and he's going to cast you into a lake of fire. That was the message that previous generations of Americans preached. You go back and listen to the old-time preachers, and go back to listen to the preachers of the 18th century and 17th century and 16th century, and go all the way back to, well, the biblical authors. And that was the message they preached. But for years I've been told by people, you can't preach like that. You shouldn't preach that. And I say, why? It's what the Bible says. All right, we're in James 2, and we're going to pick up with verse 19. 19 through 24, the faith of Abraham. James chapter 2, verses 19 through 24. I'll begin reading verse 19, and then I want you to join me in the even-numbered verses. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Amen? All right. Can your faith save you from hypocrisy? The answer is, if your faith is biblical, it can. But the question is personal. This is for you to answer in your own heart and mind. Can your faith, not mine, not anybody else's, can your faith save you from hypocrisy? Is it void of biblical truth and lacking any real evidence? That's why we repeatedly urge you to meditate upon the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that it will be so familiar to you that when you talk to people, you don't give them some harebrained answer. You give them the gospel. When you talk to somebody about their soul, you talk to someone about how to be saved, you're so familiar with the gospel that you can explain it to them. And it's very simple. You are a sinner. Do you recognize that you're a sinner? Do you recognize your need for salvation? Do you understand that Jesus Christ was God who came in the form of man in order to die for your sins? And you might even be able to explain to them that a created being cannot die for the sins of the world. A sinner like you and I can't die for the sins of the world. Only the eternal God Himself could pay that infinite price for sin. He was crucified. He shed His blood and paid that full price, was buried and rose again. And after 3 days, He rose from the grave bodily, conquering sin and death. And based on that alone, if you will repent of whatever it is separating you from God, your religion or lack thereof, your sin, whatever it is, come empty-handed with repentance toward God, with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in that gospel for salvation. At that moment, you're saved. Now, get the tape. Listen to it over and over. Get it in your heart and mind so that you can explain that to people when the time comes. Jenny and I previewed a couple of movies that we're going to watch here as a private small group gathering. And they're pretty incredible.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Because so many Christian movies flunk the test and don't even present the gospel. We watched one that was a really good movie the other day that... this was a week or two ago, but it was a really good movie, except when he was at the deathbed scene and was explaining to this dying man that God would forgive his sin, which is true, never presented the gospel. And just had the guy pray a prayer thanking God for forgiving his sin. Well, I'm sorry, but I certainly hope if that happened in real life, that fella got the gospel. Because calling on God and saying, please forgive me, God, does not save you. You have to have a basis for salvation, and it's more than just you calling out and saying, I believe in God. Well, you believe in God, you do well. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Just believing in God and saying, oh, God, forgive me, will send you to hell. You have to believe that Jesus Christ, not just a generic God, died for your sins. And that when He did so, He paid for your sins. You're not going to help Him. Your works don't mean a thing as far as your salvation is concerned. You should be working as hard for God as you've ever worked. As it gets darker and we get closer, work harder and harder. But never once think that anything you do has in any way played a part in your salvation. You work because you're saved, not to be saved. So a life empty of works is usually the result of a faith empty of substance. James is talking to somebody here just say, oh, I believe in God. Well, that would explain why your life is so empty of any real works for the Lord, because you don't really have a substantive faith. The devils believe in God. Your faith has to be of substance. There has to be something to it. And that, what is that? The gospel. It has to be the cross. It has to be the empty tomb, or it's empty. How far does your car get you on an empty tank? How far do you think your faith is going to get you when it's empty? And that's too many people have that empty faith. It's really scary. You talk to a lot of people. They cannot explain how they were saved. They claim they're saved. But then when you ask them what happened, what did you, they can't tell you. And Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You may have gotten saved and known so little that you just feel like you took a giant leap in the dark. If all you knew was you were lost and need to be saved, or you're going to go to hell, and Jesus died for your sins, was buried and rose again, that's all you needed to know to be saved. But if that's where you stop and you don't grow in your faith, you're not going to find yourself persevering. You're not going to find yourself serving the Lord with any real substance. You're not going to be standing before Him on Judgment Day with a lot to show. If your faith is not being built upon substance and evidence, it is built upon sand. You say, but I'm saved. Yes, your faith to be saved is all about the rock, Jesus. Amen. But if you are not building your life on that substance, the rock, Christ, and you just have what most people have is this empty faith. They go to churches where they sing the 7-Eleven songs. I love you, I love you, I love you, Jesus, 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 I love you. Just no substance at all. Instead of the old hymns. Amen. You know, the old hymns that tell you that, I went to the cross and that's where I saw the light. You know, that kind of thing. Today's Christian music is empty, and that's why even the people singing today's Christian music are empty. That's why people like the, what is the girl's name? Very popular, Laura, I think his name, Laura Daigle or something like that. Lauren Daigle. And so they talk to her in a secular magazine, and she can't answer basic questions and won't say that homosexuality is a sin. Why? That's what I found. I used to hang out with some of the guys that were some of the well-known musicians in Southern gospel bands, for example. And I met a few of the other. And then I also got to meet a couple of the guys, or I didn't meet him officially, but standing and listening to a guy named David Meese. And he talked about how they didn't like his music. And they wouldn't play his music on the radio. Why? Because of the lyrics. They wanted the shallow stuff. Steve Camp is another one. Wayne Watson, you remember, what was it called? He had a big hit and now Watercolor Ponies or something like that. But he was telling Bob Burney that, well, what happened was, I heard Bob Burney tell this story. He said he went to a Wayne Watson concert and he sang this song. It was about the blood and it was about the gospel, and it really moved Bob. And so Bob went behind the curtain at the evening and met him. And he asked him, "Why? I've never heard that song before." And Wayne Watson told him they wouldn't play it on Christian radio. Because of the lyrics. And then you have your Bibles. Your NIV. Your Southern Baptist Christian Standard Bible. Your Communist Council of Churches ESV. Your porno-pushing HarperCollins NIV. All these publishing houses with their empty Bibles. What are they empty of? Well, go to Colossians 1:14 in those empty Bibles and you'll see they remove the blood. Go to 1 Timothy 3:16 and they remove the reference to Jesus being God manifest in the flesh. Empty. Some of them are even removing the word virgin when referring to Mary in Isaiah 7:14. Empty Bibles. Empty Gospels. They don't preach repentance. You're accused of preaching works if you call on men to repent and believe the Gospel. Empty. Empty Bibles. Empty lyrics. Empty Gospels.